How's everybody tonight? I'm just going to share a short word. And one of the scriptures the Lord's put on my heart while I was praise and worship is in Proverbs. It's not on the thing, guys. It's Proverbs 3, and it's 5 and 6. And if you can put it up there, that'd be great. In Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody has heard this verse thousands of times. I've heard it a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here's the key point of this verse that I got lately is, and lean not unto your own understanding. You know, if I ask God to get me a new car and it don't come right away, after I asked him, I've done what I'm supposed to do. Now, the rest of it is, I'm not going to worry about it. If I ask God to deliver me something or bring me a spouse or whatever it is, or a better job, I asked God for a job a long time ago. I asked God for a house a long time ago, and I was back there with long hair and a bandana and just came to church and didn't know it. And everybody in Paris was telling me, you'll never get a rent house in Paris. They just don't have them rent houses in Paris. And I asked God in church. I stood up and thanked him for the rent house. Now, I don't know how many times, but like after a couple times, somebody called me and told me about a rent house, and I went over there and lived there for 3 years. But, you know, trusting in the Lord with all your heart's got nothing to do with your mind. And really, when you're asking God for something you need, you ought to be making sure that that's God putting that in your heart. Because last time I looked in Jeremiah 29:11, it says God has a plan for Dwayne's life. God has a plan for Melissa's life. God has a plan, and if he has a plan, he's putting that plan in your heart. It's not coming in your mind. Now, it's good to think about something and say, God, I need to win that $1 billion lottery that was last week that one guy won in L.A., of course. Sammy didn't win it, but regardless, if it's in your heart, and I'm just joking about that, you need to be saying, God, where do you want me to work? I've argued with Brother Angelo, and I haven't argued. I said, I think God wants me to go work in Rheem or all these places in Fort Smith, and they wound up moving to Mexico after maybe about 5 years, and he goes, how are you going to get over there? It's an hour and a half there, and it's like 20 minutes. After I talked with him a few minutes, I realized that I need to trust in the Lord with the job that God gave me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. Don't try to figure God out, because the Bible says he's unsearchable. He told Job, where were you when I laid the lines of the earth? Where were you when I was measuring this whole universe? Where was you? You know, we have to take us out of the equation sometimes. And when Pastor Kelly became pastor here, I said, Pastor Kelly, I'll tell you just like I used to tell your dad. Whatever God tells you to do, I'm behind you 150%. Because if God tells you to do it, who am I to get in the way? And, you know, I said, Pastor Kelly, if you mess it once or twice until you get to hear God right, but I think she's done it. Man, she just tuck it and ran with it. Most of it has just been support, because God told her to preach outside in the pandemic. Now, going against the mental state of that, I would have like outside. And we got heat and air inside. Is this COVID thing really? So it's good. But whatever she did, God was with her because she listens to God. Now, the Bible says to give honor to where honor is due. You know, the Bible says Jesus told somebody, given to Caesar what's Caesar's, but given to God what's God's. Now, I personally don't really love giving Caesar a bunch of money, but that's why I have an accountant to try to figure out everything that I can give him and not give him. But I know one thing, if I continue giving God first what's his, then everything else falls into place. Not because of my own understanding, but because of the honor that I've given the man of God, but the honor that I've given the woman of God. When you honor the woman and man of God that's in your life, you're honoring God himself. You know, giving God somebody that you can't see, how are you going to just talk to God all the time? I hear people say, I don't have to go to church. I can talk to God out here on the boat. I can talk to God, you know, at home. I can watch it on TV. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling together yourselves as you see the day approaching. You know, when you're depressed, if you're in a church, you can call somebody. I've called Brother A a lot of times. I've been going to work. Just one story. This is real. I got a guy a job once at Walmart, and he called me and said that he was hearing voices saying not to go over there. I think he went to your house. He didn't work there that long. That was one of them $50 bonuses I didn't get for recommending him. But see, the devil's going to tell you, he's going to try to beat you out of everything. I've called Brother A on several things. One day, Brother A come to the house and said, man, God, give me this business. And he goes, he told me, I really don't got time to pursue it. I'm going to give you the name of this business. He goes, I know you like to do yard works and this and that. And we went and ate. And it's called Aaron's Unlimited. And I have put that business in the paper. I have a bank account with that business. And looking back, I have made a lot of money through that business. I was just telling my brother about one job. Our brother on the back, and just they drop in my lap. They drop in my lap. God just drops it in my lap. But it comes, my whole life comes from honoring who I'm supposed to honor. Does that mean we've got along 24/7? No. But at the same time, honor is a good thing, because I think about, where do my blessings come from? If my blessings come from giving honor to who honor is due, who would I be to bite the hand that feeds me? And ultimately, you're biting God's hand. Amen? All that was for free. I'm going to read on 6:25-23, Deuteronomy 8:18, and it talks about putting God first here. And I used it last time. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. That's the last part of the Proverbs verse. But this one, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power. It's God 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 when you wake up that you bow your knee before him and say, God, where am I supposed to be today? Well, he happened to get Sam McElhaney a job at Walmart D.C. 29 years ago, August 11th of next month, 29 long years, and I've happened to realize that I need to remember that that's the job God gave me. And 29 years later, I'm still going over there. And 29 years later, it's took care of me and paid for some houses and paid for some rent. But first of all, it's paid what I owe God. I owe God the honor of the tithe. I owe God the honor of my life. But remember, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. And the only reason I'm saying this is because most people, when they don't got a job and they're praying for a job and then they get a job and then they just let it go right away because, oh, I couldn't get along with the boss. How many bosses' stories did I give you over the years? I didn't like the hours. I didn't like the work. I noticed that if you're where God sends you, things just start working out. One time a boss ripped me up for not being there, and he goes, well, why wasn't you here? And I said, well, I had some money problems, and somebody was paying me some cash to do something. And he goes, well, I got to write you up. He goes, I'm a new boss. I'm trying to get my, you know, feet in here. And he goes, and I need you at work. And then I started going to work, and I started making twice as much there as what I was thinking I was, because I was trying to figure it out in my own head. God had gave me that job to take care of me. But just because you get saved and accept Jesus in your heart doesn't mean you're the smartest apple in the book. You might have to go back to school. You might have to get the word out. You might have to learn faith is a little more than just speaking it out. I don't think nobody seen me, but I was going through every seat, and I was acting like I was taking an offering from somebody in these seats tonight, because I believe God told me to do that, because all these seats are going to be full on a Sunday night, and all these seats are going to be full on a Wednesday night, and then there might be two services coming after that until we build something else. Well, how's that going to happen? It's not up to me. I just heard God say, act like you're collecting an offering, and I think you told me that too, just go through up in every row. So, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it's he that gives you the power to get wealth. Well, how does he give it to you? He gives it to you to go to a job sometimes, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto the fathers as it is this day. Well, if you want to know what that means so you can pay tithes and give offerings to keep your church and keep things going. And as you're sowing into God's kingdom, God has angels that will take care of you. He has assignments that he will put in your lap. He has blessings that he will put in your life. out of nowhere, a job came to me. It was at my haircut lady, and the next thing I know, Ernie and Tyler were helping me with the job, and we did it, and we cleaned this place up, and Ernie made some money, and Tyler made some money, and I made some money. But it just came out of nowhere, but I had to act on it. And, you know, if I would have let my mind think about it, because the first thought I was when the lady told me about it was, this is some of them people that just want you to do something for nothing. This is something, oh, we'll get this yard mowed. Grandma and Grandpa been dead for 9 months. But, you know, then I heard a key word that the estate was being sold. And usually when the word estate is attached to something, that means somebody's getting it clean to sell because there's money involved. And I just called the people up, and the next thing I know, we were all getting paid from that. And I thank God for that. But that doesn't just come because I'm Sam and I'm a real estate agent. That comes because I'm a man of God, and I put God first in my finances, and I put God first in my ministries. Here in this church as a deacon, here in this church as a minister of pastoral care, here in this church has taken the trash out. But Brother Frank's been beating me to the punch on that lately. God bless Brother Frank. Oh, he already has, ain't he? Amen. Look at this happiness. But I used this last time, and I used this other verse, Luke 17, 32 and 33, because the Lord's saying, remember, but thou shalt remember. Don't forget God when you come into the promised land. Don't forget God when you get the big income tax check. Don't forget God when you get the husband that you've been asking him for. Maybe you ought to serve him and do what God wants you to do. Don't forget God when you're on the job that he's given you. Tommy's the only one that I know that's been there half as long as me. But, well, half as long as me. That ain't bad, Tommy, because there ain't nobody else that's got hired that's still there that I know. Remember Lot's wife. And see, this is Jesus telling his disciples, remember Lot's wife. God was delivering them from death and destruction. And she looked back. And God delivers us our souls. God delivers our minds. He delivers us from death and destruction. And sometimes we look back. And when she looked back, she turned to Saul. And the very next verse says, whosoever shall seek to save his life. What is there behind us? There's nothing. There's nothing behind us looking back. But there's a mentality. There's a mentality to forget what God wants you to do. There's a mentality to say, I shouldn't have to do all that. You know, you don't have to do all that. But if God tells you to do something, you should suit up and show up and do it. Just think if my mother-in-law had to listen to the devil this morning and not be here. She was back there. My wife was feeling the Holy Ghost. She was feeling the Holy Ghost. She was up here in this prayer line. Just think if any of y'all that testified decided to listen to the devil. He was not trying to just rob you of a one-time blessing. He's trying to rob you of a lifetime change. He's trying to get you set up for the things that the kingdom of God has in your life. If he doesn't come back for 5 to 10 years, he's trying to set it up where you can live the abundant life. But you can't do it at home. You can't do it doing what you want to do. The next verse, 33, whosoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. You're either going to lose your life for Jesus Christ and lose your life and be sold out to the things of God and what the Bible says for you to do, or you're going to be seeking to save your own life, and you're going to lose it. Amen? I remember coming into this church, I don't know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and I just had a bad spirit, a bad, nasty spirit on me. And I remember one time coming in, brother, on a Wednesday, and I don't know what I was going through. Brother A goes, whatever you're going through, I wish you'd just get through it, brother, because I hate to see you like this. But I was back there in the back. I was just having a miserable time, and I said something grouchy or smart. And he goes, Brother A, you know, you don't hold no punches, he says. Either you want to be a man of God, do you want to be a man of God, or do you want to just go back to that miserable, drugged out, bummed out lifestyle? Do you want to go back to that wretched lifestyle? And without thinking, I said, I want to be a man of God. And my attitude got a little better. So sometimes, you know, check the attitudes outside. Everybody's grouchy. Everybody's works a little bit too much. Everybody's hot. Everybody hasn't got it all together yet. But my God, when you come into this place, this is the only answer for your life. This is the only answer for your children's life. This is the only answer for your financial remedies. Amen? My nephew is one of my greatest heroes. He told me he started calling his kid, he was calling his son Rowdy, and he started calling him wisdom and knowledge instead of like Rowdy. And wisdom and knowledge, I wake up in the morning asking God to, I don't technically want these two lovely kids to come, but wisdom and knowledge, come to Brother Sam in the name of Jesus. Amen? So don't seek to save your life because you're going to lose it. And in 1 Corinthians 14:33, I see a lot of people's lives and there's confusion in it. Sometimes in my life there's confusion because people will call. People will call and they'll say that their light bill is not paid and they'll try to do this. And it's not nobody in this church, but and people will call and say, can you stop what you're doing? And I'll be in Clarksville. So I already know, like, well, how do you know that God? Well, if I didn't have a job in Clarksville to be 4 days a week, then I would know that maybe God was trying to send me over there. And they wanted me to come right now because they needed prayer, and the guy's sister was there, and they wanted to meet me. And I had prayed for the guy when he was at the hospital, but I texted him and said, now, I could probably come in the morning before she goes, or I could come tomorrow, but I can't come tonight. I'm across the river. I'm at a job. And I never heard back from him. Well, I never, you know, I put some prayers on Facebook. I have to know where God wants me to be on a regular daily basis. And God's not the author. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is all churches of the saints. You know, if you go to a church and there's no peace in it, there's no flowing together in it, there's no love together, the Holy Ghost can't show up. If you got your life and you're always confused at where you should work, where you should go, what you should do, or if you're always in some conspiracy theory that somebody's out to get me, then that's called God is not the author of confusion. So you need to stop and say, God, you're not the author of confusion. Help me with this. I plead the blood of Jesus over my house every morning because I ain't got time for no confusion. I plead the blood of Jesus over my wife. I was going in the parking lot the other day. I think I was on the phone with you and just hung up. And I said, God, I know there's a parking place for me. And there was. Somebody was pulling out right in the front. Now, that don't happen too often. But I think the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. I was taking the privilege of parking in the visitor space, and they allowed me to do that for about a year, and then somebody got the job and started cracking down on that, Tommy, and they had a write-up and said that it would be like a coach or something or a half a step or something. Now I got to park with the normal people and make that long walk, so they're trying to make sure I get there. But I just thank God this morning service ministered to me when I seen my mother-in-law get ministered to, but it wasn't just her. Everybody suffers from that. See, the devil would like you to think that you're the only one at home suffering, that the right prayer ain't been answered, that this ain't coming right. But, you know, it's everybody. It's everybody from the pastor on down. The devil, he's at work 24/7. But God created him. God's at work 24/7. And God's already told you that he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And so with some of that understanding that tries to figure it out, all you need to figure it out is like my mother-in-law. She said, I'm not going today. I don't feel good. And then she called back and said, no, I'm not going to let the devil tell me what to do. I just told the devil out loud, I'm going anyway, devil. And, you know, in your life, sometimes when things come against you, you need to get up and wash your face and say, I'm going to do what God has called me to do anyway. Because the devil will try to stop you. You don't think the devil tried to stop Brother A from starting this church? Or he didn't try to stop Pastor K? You know what? The devil is the biggest liar, the biggest loser written in the book. He's the only one condemned to the pit of hell. Everybody else has a choice. So don't let the author of confusion, which is the devil, mess you up. Jeremiah 1:5. I told you that God had a plan before you. Before God formed you in the belly, he knew you. That's my interpretation. And before you came forth out of the womb, God sanctified you and he ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Now, you may not be a prophet to the nations, but God's called you to be a prophet to somebody. God's called you to encourage somebody in your life, even if it's just you get in the mirror and start encouraging yourself. Start reading the Bible and say, the Bible says God has a plan for my life and it is good and not evil. I'm not receiving this evil no more. I'm not receiving this depression no more. I don't believe it in the I can't do this or I can't do that. I believe the Bible says, therefore through Christ who strengthens me or anoints me, I can do all things. I am bold as a lion. The righteous are bold. The wicked flee when no man chases them. Amen? In Jeremiah 29:11, because it says he knew us before we were even born, while we were in the womb. And in Jeremiah 20:11, it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. The word expected end is a future, a good future, a prosperous future, a future filled with good things. Amen? And I was like Googling this, because this is one of my favorite scriptures. But here's like the Gateway English version. God says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. See, the problem is we've all been abandoned by somebody, whether it's a wife, maybe a dad, maybe an ex-spouse. We've all felt that abandonment, disappointment. And you know, God's the only one that's never disappointed me. God didn't tell that person to abandon you. The devil did. God can't help what people do. I have it all planned out. Do you want God's all planned out life? Because you don't have to have it. I guess you can do what you want to do, like that one Bible verse says. You can try to save your life and do what you want to do and lose your whole life. Lose the good life that God has for you. Or you can start doing what God wants you to do and tell the devil to go to hell. It's probably a pretty safe bet. It's okay with God to tell the devil to go to hell because he's the only one in the book that's been assigned to hell, him and the rebellious angels that rode out with him that's coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. See, most everybody knows this verse. I'm sure you probably heard it. But just in case you haven't, God says he's recording this day. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. You know, I love my mother-in-law, Rita. She makes some soup once in a while and gives me a bowl. I love her a little more. But, you know, I have watched the curses on her life since I've been married. I've watched the curses bounce from her life to Cindy's, and she used to be in the Pentecostal faith, and she knows about God. But she just got out of whack. And for years, I've worked on her. And there came a part where God said, just leave her alone. Leave her alone, Sam. But I told her, I said, Rita, you may not be able to come to three services. You may not be able to do anything for a little bit. But there will come a point in your life where if you want to make the connection with God and reverse things in your life. Everything that I've ever prayed for came to pass in her life. She got in a car jam. God fixed it. But I said, you're going to have to honor God with one day a week. And you're going to have to show up in church one day a week. Now, she started coming Sunday. And she's been on a pretty good record. I mean, in the 8 years I know, she's came the most in the last 3 months. And God is trying to reverse the curses in her life. Now, she wouldn't have got the curses reversed like she got this morning. She had made that decision to stay home. Because God says, today I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. When I get up in the morning, I'm already looking for a house, somebody to call me on a house. I walked into the office the other day and somebody was right there and I didn't know what they wanted. I thought they wanted, you know, to use the bathroom or something, but they started jingling about seeing a house. Well, there's a whole office full of people, but I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Now, I showed them people the house and I was surprised that nobody else in the office noticed those people, but I did what I was supposed to do. every day of my life, I'm waiting for God to bless me. Now, that one didn't work out. They were looking at this house. It was about to, it was a nice house, but it's on a cliff, and they wanted a yard, and they wanted this and that. But I told them, come back and see me. We'll look at something else. And they were only in the lesser category. I see Pastor Casey Kelly's eyes looking like, maybe they'd buy my house. God's saying, man, do you want the blessings on your life? Do you want the blessings? Do you want to live? I mean, this is a pretty good thing. I see signs and billboards. You know, they should have these signs all over Las Vegas instead of the signs 1-800, call this girl. They should have the signs, God saying, today I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Somebody's been to Las Vegas before. In the name of Jesus. John 3, 1 John 3 and verse 18. I only got one more verse left. This is a short and sweet message. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Go to 3:8. I meant it 3:8, but I know I wrote 3:18 down. It's my fault, not Charles. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, part C is the best part of this verse, because I would hope that you would have purpose in your life, that you would have enough purpose and enough Holy Ghost and enough of the Word of God, that for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy means annihilate, crush to smithereens, where it blows away in the wind like a rock that you're pounding on, and the dust just blows away. That's how much power is supposed to be in your life today, you know? And none of us want to continue sinning, but God came into your life when you accepted Jesus for you to be able to defeat the devil. Amen? And it's a hard choice between this one. I'm going to quote this one. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence from the times of John the Baptist, but then the violent take it by force. So the kingdom of heaven is us, as long as God's living in us. But God wants the Holy Ghost. He wants you to force yourself. When the devil's telling you, no, don't go to church, you need to stay home and rest, that's when you got to get violent and say, you lying devil, get out of here. I'm going to church. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to get my blessing. I'm going to set up my week for blessings. I'm going to serve where God tells me to serve. I'm going to apply myself where God tells me to apply myself. I'm going to, everybody has a calling, and maybe your calling is to pray and to stay home, but everybody's got a calling. All you got to do is do what God tells you to do. If you do what God tells you to do, you won't have any problems. I think most of our problems come when we don't do what God tells us to do. Or we take money that was assigned to pay something and we don't do what God tells us to do with it, and then we wind up financially. And then the worst thing about it is after we mess up on our own, we want to like talk to God about it like it's his problem. Well, it's not God's problem, because he's made you fit to do what he's called you to do, but it's up to you to do it. Amen? And the last verse is Luke 10:17-19. Jesus sent some disciples out, and it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. There's some people that all they do is talk about the devil, and the devil did this, and the devil did that, and these people are in witchcraft, and this and that. You know, I don't care what the devil's doing, unless it's somebody coming to me, telling me, will you help me get free, you know? And I hate to see the devil steal, kill, and destroying people's lives. But if this got nothing to do with me and they're not coming to me for help, I really don't want to hear what the devil's doing, as long as it's not at my house, because I will cast it out in the name of Jesus. And he said, And you should always really listen, because this is Jesus talking, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then this word in 19 is the key verse, behold. Anytime Jesus says behold, it's like pay attention, listen. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And that don't mean you're the most intelligent person, but you can say, God, I want the mind of Christ to be in me on this situation in my life. God, I'm not feeling well. Do I need to see a doctor? God, I need your help. Because I notice most of the times I'm really not feeling well is Sunday morning when I'm supposed to get up and come down here. But, you know, after I get some of that coffee with extra caffeine in it, I'm feeling fine. After I get a shower, after I ask God, which some of these clothes should I wear today? I believe God told me to wear that Nike shirt today because I haven't ever wore it before. And it's a golf shirt. If you ever want to know if I play golf, no, but the golf shirts are on sale and the golf clothes are on sale, and those clothes are real expensive. Sammy's buying it because they're the most comfortable clothes ever. It's like, you know, they're all loose and everything. I just want you to know right now that you got more power than the devil. And if you got up and came to church this morning and came tonight, you done kicked the devil's butt already. But there's points in your life that the devil is hitting you in your mind saying that you're not going to win. But I believe God's saying you're going to win. You're going to overcome. And anybody that testified today and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, they love not their lives even unto the death. So really, I mean, I could pray for everybody, but I'm just going to turn it over to Pastor Kay.